rough week for cryptocurrencies. From a marketplace in Austin, Texas, I'm Andy Ullern for David Brancaccio. It was a rough week for crypto, to say the least. Volatility to the max, but and who knows what's going to happen today. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins me now live with the details. Good morning, Nancy.
Hey, good morning, Andy.
So Bitcoin fell below that $20,000 level on Saturday, then it bounced back yesterday, fell again overnight. Who knows what's going to happen? Now, that $20,000 mark, that's important, right?
Yeah, it's really seen as a benchmark, and Bitcoin bulls had insisted it wouldn't go lower than that. Investors are selling riskier assets, though, like crypto, because they're worried about the possibility of a recession. The Federal Reserve hiked interest rates by 3/4 of a percentage point last week, and there are fears that if the Fed overdoes it and raises rates too much, it'll cool off the economy too much and cause a recession.
And there's this theory that crypto is a hedge against inflation. That's taking a hit these days, right? What's going on there?
Yeah, it's definitely taking a hit. I mean, crypto has been compared to gold, which is a very popular hedge against inflation because it holds its value. But crypto doesn't have an inherent value like gold. It's a currency. So when you buy or sell crypto, you're trading a currency. You're not really investing. And now there are worries about a cascade of liquidations of people cashing out their crypto. The crypto lending platform Celsius isn't letting its users withdraw funds right now.
It's incredible. So where do we go from here?
Well, crypto bulls are insisting it will stabilize, but there are no guarantees, and the Fed is going to keep raising interest rates, trying not to cause a recession, but that will be a very tricky balancing act.
Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Let's do the numbers. U.S. markets are closed today in observance of Juneteenth, which was yesterday. Juneteenth celebrates the emancipation of enslaved African Americans. President Biden officially made Juneteenth a federal holiday last year. In overseas markets, the FTSE in London is up 1%, just a little more than 1%. The China Shanghai Composite was down 1.36 points at close. The murder of George Floyd and the protests that followed in 2020 prompted a lot of Americans to do more business with black-owned businesses. Black-owned bookstores in particular saw a wave of new customers interested in titles like Ibram Kendi's How to Be an Anti-Racist. Marketplace's Matt Levin checks in on how those bookstores are faring 2 years on.
Turning Page Bookshop in Goose Creek, South Carolina is the only black-owned brick-and-mortar bookstore in the state. Valinda Miller knew the flood of attention her store was getting in 2020 wouldn't last forever.
2022, the reality hit. I don't even have half that surge that we had in 2020.
Many of the customers she picked up during the height of BLM protests have stuck around, but Miller says she can see the momentum fading and rising gas and food prices are chipping away at her customers' book budgets.
So I do understand that inflation is pretty bad. That's why I try to sell the books at a reasonable price.
Sales of books about race and discrimination are down by 25% since the middle of last year, says Kristen McLean at the consumer research firm the NPD Group.
As time has gone on, I think people have turned their attention to other things.
But McLean says sales are still a lot higher than they were before the 2020 protests. I'm Matt Levin for Marketplace.
The cost to get insulin in the U.S. nearly doubled between 2012 and 2016. Out-of-pocket costs for people with type 1 diabetes can total hundreds, even more than $1,000 a month for insulin. Now Congress is working to address higher prices with a bipartisan bill that would cap insulin at $35 a month for people with private insurance or Medicare. As WABE's Jess Mador reports from Atlanta, many people with the disease who can't afford the insulin they need are turning to social media for help.
Alina Bills recalls a few months ago when she was almost out of insulin. She has type 1 diabetes. She went to her pharmacy just north of Atlanta, hoping to get a vial to last through the end of the month.
They were like, oh, this one vial is going to cost you $371. And I was just like, okay, thanks. And I walked away.
She knew skipping insulin could mean severe complications, organ failure, and death. So Bills logged on to Twitter and Facebook.
This Greater Diabetes Network to be like, hey, I can't afford my insulin. Does anybody in the area have an extra vial, essentially?
The pandemic increased online groups' traffic dramatically, says Zoe Witt in Seattle, who also has type 1 diabetes.
Especially once people started losing their jobs and losing their employer health insurance.
Witt is with Mutual Aid Diabetes, a volunteer group started by people with type 1 diabetes in 2020 to help growing numbers of people who couldn't afford their insulin.
People that had never had to seek out insulin and supplies on something like Twitter before.
Mutual Aid takes requests for insulin on its website and on social media and connects people in need with others who have some to give. Other groups do similar work, and it's not without potential legal or health risks. Yale endocrinologist Dr. Kasia Lipska says using insulin that isn't stored properly could affect blood sugar levels, but she understands why some people share resources.
The alternative is having no insulin, and that is surely going to make you sick and potentially die.
Lipska says she discovered 1 in 4 of her own patients reported taking less insulin than prescribed because of cost.
As a physician, I would just make insulin free.
But for now, Lipska says if lawmakers could pass a bill capping patient costs for as many people as possible, it would at least be a good start. I'm Jess Mador for Marketplace.
And in a sign that those supply chain issues are still with us, many countries are reporting a shortage of popular food items, from onions in Japan to beer in Germany and popcorn here in the U.S. Now, it's not typically the food products themselves that are in short supply, but getting them where they're going to be consumed when we're facing issues. In Austin, I'm Andy Euler with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.